Take away the glamour and the garbage, and cities reduce to systems, complex physical systems. Or at least that's how astrophysicist and NPR blogger Adam Frank sees it. Adam, hi.
Hi, it's great to be here.
And let's explain that you are out on the street today in Rochester, New York. You're a professor at the University of Rochester, and you're going to give us a street-level view of the city as a physics lab. What do you mean?
Well, essentially, I grew up in metropolitan New York, that urban jungle there, and I was learning physics pretty much at the same time I was falling in love with the city. And the beautiful thing was I was able to use the city as my physics laboratory, because everywhere you walk in a city, you see examples of physics. All of these straight lines and right angles are an example of the way the cities were designed on purpose to take advantage of sort of abstracted physics. So, you know, as I was walking around watching steam come out of a grate, I was learning about the thermodynamics of gases. Or watching traffic flow, I was learning about traffic as a fluid system. So really, in many ways, I found the city to be the best physics laboratory I could imagine.
And tell me, as you stand there in Rochester right now and you look around, what are you seeing that that says to you, aha, this is a grand physics experiment right in front of my eyes?
I'm actually standing right now at a corner and I'm watching traffic flow. And one of the best places to see the theater of forces and energy, which is, if you're a physicist, that's what you're interested in, to see them applied is through traffic. Now, if you're in a car, you never really get a chance to feel the force and energy because you're not expending it. You step on the gas, you go, who cares? But if you're on a bike, you see why bicyclists don't want to stop often, is because if it's your muscles that are going to go into getting yourself started again, which is essentially the physics of it, you see why on a bicycle, if you come to a red light, it's easy for a car to stop and start again, but for a bicyclist, it's their force and their energy that has to get you going.
So that bike in motion wants to remain in motion.
Right. Newton's first law, one of the best examples of physics in a city that you can see is Newton's first law of motion.
Adam, look at that intersection where you are right now and tell me if you're seeing other laws of physics that are coming to bear in traffic.
So I'm looking at a red light and a bunch of cars all stacked up right now. And what's going to happen is when the light turns green, the cars are going to get going. But they all don't get started at once. First, the first row of cars starts moving, and then the second row of cars behind them can get moving, and then the third row of cars can get moving. So what's actually happening is there's a wave which is moving backwards, a wave of rarefaction or cars spreading out. The cars moving forward is the wave actually that moves backward. And that same kind of physics is exactly what happens in an exploding star, for example. The same kinds of fluid motion of what physicists call a rarefaction wave occurs both in traffic, when the traffic is beginning to accelerate, as occurs in an exploding star, when the gas in the star is blown outwards.
So you're looking at the traffic in front of you, and you're not seeing, you know, Nissans and Hondas. You're seeing exploding stars on some level.
I do, actually. That is exact. And when I see it, I'll get so excited because it's like, oh my God, there's an example of a rarefaction wave.
Adam, we've been talking about Isaac Newton, and of course, Newton had a lot of things to say about gravity. How does a city help us see the forces of gravity at work, besides everywhere?
Right. The best place to see what Newton was telling us, and actually even to go beyond it, is elevators. Because gravity and elevators really go together beautifully. So I'm now in front of a very tall building here, and we're going to walk inside and go over to the elevator. So when the elevator starts, you feel your legs buckle a little bit as the elevator's rising. And when the elevator comes to your floor, you feel a little bit light as the elevator decelerates. Now, the beautiful thing about that is exactly where Einstein started in thinking about gravity. When he went beyond Newton, he was doing all of these thought experiments about what happens in an elevator as you accelerate and decelerate. So when I was a foot messenger in New York City, I had a job doing that for a year or so. I used to carry a little red ball with me, mm-hmm. and I would try and catch that moment. I'd throw the ball up in the air, and I'd try and catch the moment when the elevator either accelerated or decelerated. And then you could see the ball in space. It would either slow down as it rose or speed up, or sometimes right in mid-motion, it would hang there for a second. And I would get so excited because there I was reading the same physics, the Newtonian physics and the Einstein physics. I was seeing it real, the stuff that I had just been reading beforehand. And of course, the people in the elevator all thought I was a little crazy, but I didn't mind.
They might have just been waiting to see when you were going to start juggling.
Right. If I'd only had a few more balls and some more talent, then maybe I might have been able to do that and fund my graduate work, too.
Well, Adam, it's been fun. Thanks for the lesson in the city as physics lab. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you.
That's University of Rochester astrophysicist Adam Frank. He writes for NPR's Cosmos and Culture blog. And next time, he'll bring us a rooftop view of the city. You can follow the city's project on Twitter at NPR Cities.
And next Tuesday, the City's Project returns with a story about what's worth preserving in our older neighborhoods. Also on Tuesday, we'll be asking a group of urban thinkers for their ideas about the issues we've been covering. They'll be posting their thoughts on Twitter. You can subscribe to the NPR Cities Roundtable. It's a list on our Twitter account, and you can join the conversation. All tweets will be tagged NPR Cities. That's next Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific.